You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Zach Bechtold and Matt Franks. If you'd like to learn more about the Bearded Theologians, you can go online at beardedtheologians.com, where we have past podcasts, blogs, and a couple of items for sale. So check us out, beardedtheologians.com. Thank you for listening and enjoy this week's show.
You're listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast, hosted by Matt Franks
and Zach Bechtold.
So this week on the podcast, we're going to talk about discernment. And so, Zach, as you hear the word discernment, what comes to mind for you?
Well, let me discern that question, Matt Franks. No, discernment's a fun... It's a fun church word that we use, and I think for a long time now it's become kind of a buzzword of let me discern that. And really at the end of the day, it's just let me figure out what this means. Let me put some thought and prayer and some energy towards making a decision. I did want to share the technical definition of discernment. It's the process of assessing and evaluating, particularly in relation to trying to determine God's will in a particular situation for one's life's direction. I find it really interesting as I think about this word and this idea, often as we do on the podcast, especially here lately, but all the time, reclaiming words that have either lost a little bit of their harump or have been used poorly in a lot of different ways. Discernment can be one of those, and I think has been one of those. Like I said, it feels often like a buzzword and almost is a little cringy from time to times. But when we take a look at discernment, it's deeply embedded into who we are as Methodist. The Wesleyan Quadrilateral is discernment. It's taking what we know about scripture and tradition and reason and the other one that I can't remember off the top of my head.
Scriptures, experience, tradition, and reason.
Experience. That's what that is.
I'm going to need you to hole punch your Methodist card.
I know, right? I didn't have my coffee this morning. But that's what that is. That's a tool for discernment, to hear and see where God is at work in our lives and calling us to go. And I love it. And I love that about being Methodist is we have that built in, where other denominations don't see discernment in the same characteristics in the same way. And I think where I think it's become a buzzword is where we have taken it and encouraged people and maybe even manipulated people in, I need you to discern this before you do this, or ask people, I need you to do this for me, but first take some time to discern if it's the right thing. Or using it, personally in a way of, well, I've discerned this and it's not what I want to do. it's just a weird and messy thing that, like I said, I think we could use some time and attention to reclaim it for really what discernment is and what it's meant to be in a healthy way. I don't know. That's kind of the weird place I go with it these days.
First, the first like follow-up question I have for you, where did you find that definition of discernment?
In the fun little dictionary of theological terms.
Okay. I was just curious because when I Googled it, what I found interesting when I Googled it, it obviously named it as a noun, but this comes from the Oxford Languages. It said, in Christian context, perception and the absence of judgment with a view to obtain spiritual guidance and understanding. I kind of like that, but I also liked how you framed the use of the quadrilateral as someone who is a firm believer in the quadrilateral. Mm-hmm. I liked how you use that in a process of discernment. I think for me, when I talk about discernment, the first thing I always like to remind people is that discernment starts with prayer. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that we have to invite the Holy Spirit in So we can be fully aware and fully present, and we have to center ourselves. Like I think of it more of an act of centering than an act of invitation. Because if we can center ourselves, then we can truly discern in a healthier way, and be more attentive to where God is calling us to. I think far too often, and I know I'll throw myself underneath the bus on this. I don't pray enough in meetings and things when we're making when we're making some decisions. When it's a big decision, I do pray about it. Like I do ask us, like, hey, like before we make this decision, let's pray. I think that's key. I think having grounding yourself is key on that. Because how else can you discern if you don't know, like at least trying to pay attention to? I think in the sense of discernment, it is weighing as many options as possible to discern, like to figure out what's the best, the best place or the best choice. You and I entered into a discernment process for ordination, and we had a lot of work to do to figure out what we wanted to do, where we wanted to be. And I'm not gonna lie, for as much as that takes hits and for as much as people get pissed at it, I value my 13-year discernment process. And I say that because there's no way in hell at 21 I could have be doing what I was doing now, or even when I first started the discernment process, without some kind of discernment, some kind of space to bounce things off, some kind of what are my options kind of deal. And I appreciated the discernment process. Yeah, there were headaches along the way, I'm not going to lie. But the process of discernment for this was key. And my favorite story about that is when I was at Youth 2003 in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I was discerning on which direction, which path I was going to choose. That's where I was at in the process. I had to come back in the fall and like lay my path out before me, because that's kind of the way the process was at the time. And I was at the Global Board of General Ministries of Higher Education. I was at the Global Board of Higher Education booth. And one of the coolest things that they had there, it was cool at the time. I'm not saying it's cool now, but it's cool at the time. They had two cutouts. They had a cutout for a deacon cutout. There was someone in a deacon stole. And it was literally like you stuck your head in and you stuck your hands in. And it was like, oh, look at me, I'm a deacon. And then you had the elder stole cutout. And I was in discernment. I was thinking I could do deacon youth ministry. That would be fun. I thought that that's where I felt God calling me. And because I loved it. And, you know, I remember telling the lady, like, I'm in the process. I'm getting ready to make the decision. And, like, I'm wrestling with this. I could go either way. And so she's like, well, why don't you take a picture of both and figure out which one comes out the best? And this was at a time when you didn't have digital photos. And so with my Kodak disposable camera, we took the picture. And I really wish I need to find that picture. It's somewhere, we took the picture, and the one that developed the best was the ordained elder. Now, I did not base my whole career off of that.
I was going to say, we have some follow-up questions, the podcast and I.
But I will say it was definitely a sense of relief when I did make that decision that that's definitely the path I need to go. And being led by God by that, by opening myself up to the process of discernment and really listening and not making it what I wanted. Cause what I wanted was to deacon youth ministry was like, to me, the path. And that was obviously not, there were other reasons too, like not being able to preside over elements and in that sense, you know, there's a lot to it than that, but that definitely helped me discern what I was doing and where I felt God calling me.
Well, and you bring up a really, really good point. I think we short-side discernment and making decisions in our spiritual and religious and really everyday life as by not seeing it as a process, by not seeing it as a chunk of time, even, which is always hard to when we're trying to make a decision, when we're trying to figure out who we are, what we are, where we're going, what we're doing. You know, it's hard to see down the road, and it feels like a very immediate decision. But you're absolutely right. Through our process of becoming ordained, it's a long process for a reason, because there are ebbs and flows. Who we are when we start is not who we are when we finish. in to have that whole process to build us up and to guide us and do that. If you're not going for ordination, discernment's the same thing, right? The decisions that we make today can change tomorrow, right? Like we learn and we grow and we do things. And if we approach every decision that we have to make, if we discern everything as if it's in concrete today, and as soon as we say yes, no, or act upon it or do whatever, it can't change tomorrow. And I think we short-side discernment in that way to say, well, if I do this now, I can't change later. No, you can, and you will.
Well, it's because we live. Ways, right? We live in an instant gratification society.
Yes. Yeah,
and so because of that, we feel like decisions have to be made now. When you and I know that some of our best decisions, I mean, I know some of the best decisions I have taken time.
Right.
I mean, and you can attest to that. Like me coming out here, that was a 4-year-long discernment process, really.
Right.
It's not that I didn't want to at the very initial act of being asked to come out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I wanted to discern, was this the right decision?
Right.
When's the right time? And placing, you know, really placing a lot of trust in God and listening to, and being still, mm-hmm. And listening to God was key. And I think, I definitely believe with discernment though, we don't, you're definitely right. We don't take enough time for it.
Right.
And it's not just the big decisions. It's like, you know, when you're thinking about your sermon, how much do you discern on it? Mm-hmm. Like, how much are you looking ahead? How much are you looking, thinking about the overall picture? I was, I was watching some kind of thing about storytelling just recently, and they were talking about this really famous book, and I don't remember what it was, but they were talking about the reason why it wasn't as good as it could have been because they wrote it without the end in mind.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that got me thinking about sermon series. How often in sermon series do we write the sermon with the end in mind? Not the end of the sermon, but the end of the series.
The end of the series, yeah.
And that's definitely got me thinking in a different light of that, because, you know, we go week in and week out writing sermons and are we really thinking ahead, you know? Right. And I found myself thinking ahead this last week with Easter, you know, with Lent and all that coming up, mm-hmm. upon us, thinking about how to tie in everything,
right.
from Lent into Easter,
right.
And I think that process of discernment is key. I'm not saying that nobody does it. I think that, sure. A lot of good preachers do that, but
yeah. It's just easy enough not to do.
Yeah, it definitely takes a lot of work and time. I do believe that discernment is a timely process. It's not just something you can just, like, you know, make on the fly.
Yeah. For me, I've been trying to think of what's the parable, what's the scripture, what did Jesus do in regards to discernment? And I mean, the easy answer to that is Jesus goes out, and anytime he's going to make a big decision or something big happens, he always spends time out in the wilderness, right? And what's he doing? He's spending time discerning in prayer, in conversation, just in that moment, knowing that something, he's going to walk back into this, right? But the parable, and it may be maybe a stretch, it may be cheating, I don't know. It's the prodigal son, right? He doesn't just wake up one day and say, give me mine. Like, he took time to think that through and what he was going to do, how he was going to do it, and makes a bad choice, right? Makes a poor decision to go and squander all of his things. But he comes home, and his dad all the while is working through that process of, what do I do when my son comes home? It's not ever if for him, it's when. And, you know, you talked about your discernment moving out here. Same thing. When we moved to Montana the first time, I remember having a conversation with my dad, you know, of, is, we're going to Montana, is this the right thing to do? You know, and all of the questions, we're going to be forever away from everybody, we don't know anybody, it's going to be really hard. And is it the right thing to do to move my family out there? And his simple advice was, go. What do you have to lose? Because if you go and you hate it, you can always come home. You always have a place here. He's like, but I don't think you're coming back. He's like, you're gonna go. And I think you're gonna love it, you know. But he's like, if you don't, come home, just come home. And that has since then has always echoed in the back of my head of, well, yeah, we'll pray about this. We'll spend some time in it, and if it doesn't work, we always have a place to go. We can always come home, wherever that may be, whether that ever be Texas for us, or if that becomes Montana, whatever it is, right? That's always in the back of my head of, no matter what decision we make, we can always come home. And that has helped in my discernment process of taking new appointments, of, you know, whatever it is we do, it's, you know, this may last for a minute, but it's not going to last forever.
I always think of Waterboy. Home is where you make it.
Yeah.
Because I called this home the other day, and someone's like, wow, you're calling this home. I said, well, home is where you make it.
Sure.
Yeah, I am an Oklahoman to the T, and you know, I have my tribal identity and all that is there, and but I also know that through family and things that this is, you know, where you feel God leading you and calling you, that's where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, you were talking about scripture. Last week's lectionary dealt a little bit with the discernment, and you know, we see Moses talking about the process of discernment in Deuteronomy 18, and how to listen to the right prophet. And I'm not gonna lie, chapter 18, verse 20 says this: but any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die. I found that interesting, thinking about, you know, we are in this time of wrestling with what is truth. Postmodern thinking wrestles with what is truth. And we are definitely wrestling with that as the church, as in all parts of society. We hear certain political candidates say that I have the truth, and they're, you know, they're spreading fake news is the buzzword. And I think that for me, how do I discern what is truth? Is it grounded in doing good, doing no harm, and staying in love with God? And that goes back to that discernment process. I can almost hear Michael Scott saying ABD, always be discerning.
Always be discerning.
I think that that's a you know, thing to think about.
Yeah.
So Zach, as we enter into our new segment, we need to create some jingle music for this.
I don't know.
Cause all the other cool podcasts have jingle music, yeah, right? Extra jingle music. Maybe we need to, maybe we talk to Dave about that and see if we can get us some. So Zach, where have you seen God, in these past 2 weeks?
I was on vacation. If you follow the podcast on the social medias, for the last week or so, and, my wife and I got to spend, some beautiful time in Hawaii, and it's really hard not to see God there. Just was great. But we just got to spend time together, her and I, and really probably for the first time, just her and I on a real vacation that wasn't work related or had responsibilities or kids looming in the background, in about 10 years. And it was really nice, just to be present and reconnect and really just see where God is working in our lives and how we've gotten to this point. We celebrate 19 years of marriage later this year, and it's been a wild ride. We've been a lot of places and lived a lot of places and done a lot of things, and you know, good, bad, right, and wrong. And this was a nice time just to reflect upon that and enjoy one another, enjoy time with each other. So and it was all a 100% a God thing that we got to do it. Like, it just, the stars aligned, and it was really a gift and a blessing. So that's where we were at. How about you, Matt? Were you seeing God at work recently?
There's definitely been a spirit of love in this place, in the church, and we've just had some really amazing experiences the last 2 weeks of things coming together, either last minute or just through the spirit. And that's been really cool to see. And that's been really cool to experience it in a way that just feels so good. It's been so long since I've had these feelings of the spirit of love. Just the conversation, just everything, just such in a positive place that it's been really good. Even though we've had some bumps in the road, we definitely haven't let those bumps stop us, but yet we've continued to put God in the center of what we're doing. And it's amazing to see how that's working. And it's just been, it's been a long time since I've had these feelings, and it's just felt really good. And I definitely, it's all God. And that's just been really what's been, that's been really cool these last couple of weeks. So
nice. I love it. I love it so much.
Yeah. This is definitely a good discipline for us to wrestle with.
It is.
I think it's a good model. You know, we talk about modeling healthy conversation, but what if we, you know, we're, the process is we're trying to model even what good spiritual conversation looks like.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we want to leave you with. As always, the question of where have you seen God at work this week? And really discern that out.
Spend
some time with that.
And here's something too that I definitely want to for us to consider, is like for you to consider as you're listening. Don't be afraid to share that on the episode, you know, whether it's through Facebook or our website or wherever you are listening to this, because like, I think that we don't hear that enough. We don't hear how God's at work in this world enough. We definitely hear the negative. You know, in this last week, we heard two negative stories that came out about the church. I'm sure there were more, but there are two that I heard. One of the decline, which is a depressing thing. And then the other is the pastor that swindled his congregation out of Bitcoin monies. And so like, I'm trying to create a space where we can share where God's at work more. And I, you know, definitely feel free to do that as you're listening. You know, you can go to our website at beardedtheologians.com. We have a lot of great stuff for you. A lot of great content. I mean, 8 years worth of content. That's a lot of episodes. Don't forget to pick up a t-shirt or a coffee mug or something for your loved one for Valentine's Day. Even if they don't have a beard, what a great way to share some kind of just item with someone that you love. And also don't forget to like us and share us and give us 5 stars and write funny reviews. I actually do read through those, and we have a few funny ones, but I can't get anybody to write some funny ones. So if you're listening, you know, go to wherever you listen to this on and write some, give us 5 stars and write funny reviews, because that's just a fun thing to do. So for the Bearded Theologians, I'm Matt Franks.
I'm Zach Bechtold. Thanks for checking us out.
Guys, I want you to subscribe and like this video and push that thumbs up.
Thank you for listening to the Bearded Theologians podcast. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share on all social media outlets. You can check out old episodes and more information at beardedtheologians.com. Thanks for checking us out.